Now, if you do have your Bible there, please do turn back to Genesis as we have a look at these passages before us this morning. Now, we're often defined, aren't we, by the places that we are born and the places that we live. Some of you here this morning will be proud to have been born and brought up in West Kilbride, the centre of the universe. You've been here your whole life. You have deep roots here, and you're proud. Others here this morning were perhaps born elsewhere, but then came to West Kilbride at a young age. You've been here most of your life. Others of us have come to West Kilbride comparatively recently. Perhaps we have spent our lives in a different place or different places, and we have different memories of being in those different places. For myself, I lived in three different places before I was the age of eight, and so have different memories of these different places, and maybe you are the same. And of course, there are places in our lives, aren't there? Not just places that we live, that are significant and which means something for us. Places where we have worked. Places we've been on holiday. Places we have spent time with the family. And of course, as well as our roots and the places we have lived being significant for us, it is of course our families, isn't it, that are significant for us and have a great pull for us. We like to be close to our families because we have a special bond with them. And it's because with our families, we can be as we are, can't we? We can be vulnerable, warts and all, because, of course, blood is thicker than water. So places and our families. Now, this morning is our second week looking at the Essential 100. And following on from looking at creation and the fall and hints of hope last week, this week we look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And these men, these patriarchs, are significant because God chooses them, these three men, to be the forefathers of his special people. God makes a special covenant with Abraham and carries that through Isaac and then Jacob and beyond. And of course, Jacob's other name was Israel. And he, of course, was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are important as the forefathers of the nation of Israel. But more than that, they're also the ancestral line of Jesus himself. And that's why they are so important. Now clearly with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, both place and family were important. And what I want to do this morning is have a think about both of these things before having a think about all three of these men as characters to hopefully give us a word of encouragement as we close today. So firstly this morning I want to think about place. We all have places that are special to us and which mean something to us and which give our life meaning and significance. And this is certainly true of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, we see Abraham being introduced. He's announced with little ceremony. But what we see is the Lord speaking to Abraham and telling Abraham, leave your country, leave your people, leave your family, and instead go to a different land. And God promises that he will make Abraham into a great nation and will bless Abraham. And so in obedience to God, Abraham leaves his homeland of Haran and sets out for the land of Canaan. And though the Canaanites are currently in that land, God promises that Abraham's offspring will inherit this land of Canaan. And so we see Abraham in this new land with the promise that in time, Abraham's offspring will inherit the land and that Abraham would have many descendants. Now that all seems well and good, doesn't it? At a surface level, we think, well, Abraham's moved off. He's followed God's promises, and that seems great. But there's a problem. You see, Abraham is getting on in years. Maybe you feel like that this morning. He's 75 when he sets out from Haran. He probably thinks that most of his best years are behind him. Thinks, right, God has called me, I'm going. His wife Sarah is also getting on in years. And there's a problem. Because they don't have any children. And so how can God make Abraham into a great nation? And how can Abraham have as many descendants as stars in the sky, like God promises? And yet, if you know the story, when Abraham is 100 years old, 25 years later, God gives him a son, Isaac. And then Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has his sons. And as we all know from our recent study in the book of Exodus, in good time, there'll be huge numbers of these people leaving the land of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. Well over 1 million people. So God promises a land and a nation. And through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see God's promises being reaffirmed and fulfilled. In the part of the story of Jacob that we read, we see Jacob on a journey, setting out from Haran. See how Haran comes in again. He sets out from Haran. He's probably uncertain about the future. And when Jacob stops for the night, what do we see? We see God speaking to him. And God reaffirms the promise. The promises made to Abraham and Isaac. I will give you a land. I will give you descendants. And God, of course, is faithful to his promises. So a land and so descendants. These are the things that God promises to these three men, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I just want to reflect this morning a little on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as characters. You see, maybe as you're reading the passages this week, and I hope you have been following these passages. Okay, there's some passages in the intimation sheet to read this week. Then I'll give you a week's break. Okay, so do catch up if you're able. You see, sometimes when we're reading our Bibles, and maybe you thought about this week, and we read of the characters in the Bible, we sometimes read our Bibles as if the people that the Bible speaks about were perfect people, and that we must follow them to the letter, and we must follow their example. Now, there is, of course, a place, isn't there, for good examples in our Christian walk. But we must never fall into the trap of thinking that these people that we see in the Bible are necessarily perfect. There's one perfect person. We'll come to him in a minute. And we must never think that God chose to give these three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land and descendants because of their character. You see, God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob simply out of his grace. You see, if there was anything that defined these three men, it was these two things. And the first thing might surprise you. You see, the first thing is this. Failure. Failure is what defined these three men. You see, all these three men were imperfect. And all three had things in their life that they were ashamed of. You see, Abraham had this great promise from God that he would have descendants. And yet, instead of waiting for God to fulfill this promise, instead, Abraham begins to take things into his own hands. He thinks, his wife, Sarah, she's got no chance of having children. She's just too old. And so what does he do? He takes things into his own hands. Sleeps with Hagar, the maidservant, has a child with her instead, and she bears a son, Ishmael. But of course, that wasn't what God intended. And actually, Abraham taking things into his own hands causes all kinds of grief. He made a mistake. He failed. And then Isaac, he also made some strange decisions in his life. It's not as fully formed his life in the Bible. But again, he made strange decisions. He also failed. And then Jacob's very name means he deceives. He steals his brother's birthright, the blessing from his father Isaac, stealing the right of Esau as the oldest child. Jacob too wasn't perfect. He failed. But as well as being failures and having things in their life of which they were probably ashamed, there is no doubt that there was another characteristic that defined each of these men. You see, there is no doubt that each one of these men was a man of faith. Yes, these men failed. Yes, they all had times when they strayed, when they went their own way and did their own thing. But their default position was that they trusted God, that they believed God, and that we're obedient to God. You see, God had chosen them in his grace and had made promises to them. And they believed in him through faith. Think of the passage in Hebrews, all about faith. These three men were commended for their faith. Now, as we think on these three men this morning, these three patriarchs, these three important men in the Old Testament, I hope that each one of us can take encouragement. You see, each one of us here today has a past. Each one of us has times when we have failed. Times when we have failed God. Times when we have failed our family. Times when we have let others down. And perhaps we are a bit ashamed. And maybe even that failure is affecting our life today. Maybe it plays on our mind. And we find it hard to let go of it because it keeps coming back to us. And maybe we even wonder as we're sitting here this morning, can God accept me because of my past? Or because I keep letting God down, can he accept me? Maybe we feel we should have done better. But I want you today to take encouragement. You see, the three men that we look at today were ancestors of Jesus. They were in his direct line. Were they perfect? No, they weren't. Did they have a past? Yes, they did. Did God choose them? Yes, he did. Did God's promises still hold true for them? Yes, they did. And the fact is that the gospel, the good news, is not for people who are perfect. If you think you're perfect today, you haven't got it. The gospel is for people who are imperfect. It is for people who have failed. It is for people who have a past, who have skeletons in their cupboard. You see, the whole news, the whole good news of the gospel is this. It is the cross. Because there has only been one person who has ever lived a perfect, sinless life. And that was Jesus. And why the cross is such good news is that on the cross, the sinless Savior died. I quoted this hymn at an evening service recently, and we're going to sing it in a minute or two. And the words in this hymn are so powerful. In the hymn it says this, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. You see, our standing before God does not depend on us. It depends only on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we learn from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is that they were great examples to us of faith, of holding on to God, of holding on to God's promises, and believing that God's promises would come to pass, and being obedient in the main when God called. Maybe today, as you come to worship, you come feeling a failure, feeling ashamed of things in your life which you think can cut you off from God. I want you this morning to look at the cross, to look at God's grace, to look at God's love that is so strong that he sent a Savior for you. You see, God simply asks us to turn away from wrongdoing, to turn away from our past, to repent, to say sorry. And accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord by faith, to live out our lives to the Lord and for God to the full. Yes, there might still be times when we fail, but we keep coming back, don't we? We keep coming back to the cross because there is always more forgiveness at the cross. And there's always more hope for us. The hymn writer says this: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." The hymn, of course, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." As you understand today what Jesus has done for you, as you understand the depth of his love for you, may you hide yourself in the rock, in the cleft of the rock that is God. May you know his promises. May you hold true to them. And may you know that God accepts you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for the passages that we read today. We thank you for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these forefathers of the faith, these men, Lord God, who, though they were failures, though they were flawed characters, were also men of faith who looked to you. We thank you, Lord God, that you were gracious to them, that you chose them, that you forgave them for those times when they turned from you. And Father, we thank you that similarly, as we come before you, as flawed, as broken, as weak people, that we too, Lord God, can know your promises are true for us. That when we look to Jesus, then we too can know forgiveness. Then we too can know new life. Then we too can know your grace and your love. Father, if we come to you today and we find ourselves coming and we're ashamed, or we feel a failure, or we feel far from you, and we wonder whether you can even accept us or look upon us, Father, we pray that we might understand that it doesn't depend on us. It depends upon Jesus. And that his sacrifice on the cross was more than enough to allow us to come into your presence. So, Father, may your healing hand be upon our lives today. May you lift up our eyes to see you as you truly are. And Father, as we turn towards the Lord's Supper in a moment or two, may we look upon this bread and wine. May we see your body broken, Lord Jesus, and your blood shed for us, that we might come into the very presence of God. So Father, may we find encouragement from you this day, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.